This episode of the WDW Review is sponsored by Magical Mara Designs. Do you enjoy showing off your love of Disney by wearing Mickey or Minnie ears, but get tired of wearing ones that are uncomfortable and give you headaches? Check out the made-to-order ear designs at MagicalMaraDesigns.com. We've got cute and comfortable Mickey and Minnie ears made to order. Designing Minnie and Mickey ears is my hobby. Making ones that are actually comfortable to wear is my passion. Check them out at MagicalMaraDesigns.com. Hi everyone, and welcome to the WDW Review. I am Stacey Nyman, and I am the only regular co-host here today. Our two fellows are not with us. Chris is out sick, and Pete is gallivanting somewhere in Florida, you know, just doing his thing. But I am joined by two of my really good friends from our EDCOT group. They're here to help us with our topic today. So first, we have Jennifer Bachman. How are you, Jennifer?
I'm great. How are you?
Excellent. And we also have Emily Morse. How are you, Emily?
Doing great.
Good. And they're here, and we've asked them to join us for a very specific reason. You'll kind of get the idea as we start getting into the topic. But I'm going to ask a question just to kind of get us warmed up here. What age did you first start taking your children to Walt Disney World? Like, what's the youngest age that you brought your kids? We'll start with you, Jennifer. Why don't you go ahead and start?
Sure. So I have two kids. My son we brought for the first time when he just right before his fourth birthday. And then by the time my daughter came along, we were a Disney family. So her first trip was at 4 months.
Isn't that funny how that works out that way? How about you, Emily?
Well, my daughter actually has only been once, and that was at 15 months old. We are an every few years kind of family. Uh-huh. So we tried to plan it at a good age, and I think that it was really great for her first trip.
That's good. Yeah, it's we were an every other year family, and then that stopped happening pretty soon.
But if it were solely up to me, we might be too.
Yeah, I know, and it's like it's kind of a bummer that, well, maybe not. It's not a bummer, but Stephanie's a Disney nut too, so we don't really. There's not too much, you know, begging back and forth. When do we get to go next? We kind of are enabling each other. But my kids went. Sophie was 4 on our first trip, almost 5. And then Ethan was, he would have been 2. And then Griffin was 8 months, I think. And then so we didn't, so his first trip was as a baby. The other two, I don't think Ethan remembers it. He was still too young. But Sophie definitely remembers the first time we went as a family. But then Britta went when I was pregnant with her. She went when she was, I think 6 or 7 months old. She went when she was 1, when she was 2. So lots of baby time with Britta at Walt Disney World. And if our listeners haven't figured this out, our topic tonight is what in the world do you do with a baby while you're at Walt Disney World? And there's a lot that you can do. So we've come up with some ideas to kind of help our listeners who have little ones or who may be having little ones in the future, grandchildren or whatever, how you can navigate through Walt Disney World, survive the nap times, survive breastfeeding, if you breastfeed, survive feeding in general, just kind of all things baby at Walt Disney World. And we did not do this on purpose where there are no gentlemen on the podcast. Chris really is sick tonight, so our dads are fully involved in these things too. Scott actually helped me come up with a bunch of my items on this list too, so we're not excluding the dads. This is not a women only podcast, so hopefully all of our men will chime in too. I'm gonna let my cat in the room because he is yowling outside the door.
So, Stacey, I have to ask as we get started, did you have 2 in diapers when you first went to Disney?
I think I probably did. I blocked that out. I don't remember it. But I think Ethan was potty trained when he was 3. So he either was just potty trained or he was just at the end of his diaper journey. So yeah, lots of gear and things that you have to bring. We'll just kind of jump right in. Do you two have lists of different tips and things that you want to talk about?
I have all kinds of notes, so we can do whatever you want to do.
Yeah, same.
Good. Excellent. Good. So we'll just kind of dive right in. So we've all come up with some tips and different places and different things that you could do with a baby, toddler, young child at Walt Disney World, so you're not, you know, stuck wandering around the parks looking for some place to go. Do we either of you want to
start? Yeah, I'm happy to jump in. Excellent. So my experience is actually, I feel like it's common, but maybe it's unique, where typically when we went with Isla when she was an infant, she was the easiest kid on our trip. So we didn't really have a ton of trouble finding ways to keep her happy because she just pretty much rolls with what we were doing. But that, I would definitely start by saying, have a plan, but don't be stuck on that plan, because kids are great at messing up plans, and you need to be flexible and not have your heart set on absolutely doing some things. So I guess that would probably be my first tip. And then we'll probably spend some time on this, but I would say if people don't know, we should maybe kick off by talking about the baby care centers.
Yes, I agree with you.
I have pros and cons.
Excellent. Why don't you go ahead and share those? Because I've only been to a couple of them. So why don't you kind of go with what you have? And then if either the other two of us has something to chime in with, we'll go ahead and chime in with those things.
Sounds great. So my experience with the child care centers have been absolutely wonderful and kind of terrible. I would say that it probably depends on the crowds and the weather and things like that. You know, if people are trying to get out of the heat or out of the rain or anything like that. But we were actually at Epcot in an absolutely gorgeous day in January. So it was maybe 75 degrees, sunny, you know, the kind of day that you would love to spend outside, but our daughter was having an absolute meltdown and we were just trying to get somewhere quiet and low-key and where we could, you know, try to see if we could get her to nap, because she's normally really good at napping in the stroller. Got notes about that later. But she just was not having it at this day and time. And we walk into the child care center at Epcot and it is the busiest place at the entire park.
Oh man.
I swear there were probably 50 people in there, and
oh my goodness,
kids screaming, and it was not going to work for us that day. But that being said, a different day at Magic Kingdom, we had a wonderful experience.
Yeah, I mean, I've experienced similar things. Emily, I would say, in my opinion, they're not all created equal. And this is more probably from the perspective of a nursing mom. So Magic Kingdom and Epcot have big rooms, and there are like private areas within those rooms, and you can usually find a spot. But for whatever reason, Hollywood Studios and Animal Kingdom only have they're totally private, but they have essentially like two nursing booths. And what I found in those parks is that there was a line like 3-4 moms deep to get to those. And that was a struggle for us, because when your kid's hungry, you really can't wait. And we had kind of counted on that. And so we had to be creative in those parks just to find a different place to definitely feed her. But we've experienced that with the crowds, especially if it rains. Those baby care centers, people tend to just go in there to keep the kids dry.
Yeah.
And it's a total mob scene.
Yeah, and I'll just add to for people who are listening who might not have ever been to Walt Disney World before, you can breastfeed your child anywhere on Walt Disney World property. It's illegal for them to stop people from breastfeeding. So you can breastfeed in public. You can find an off the way spot or not. It's completely up to you. So I just wanted to say that before we continued here. It's, you know, if you can't find a private spot, that's okay. So it's all up to your level of comfort there.
Yeah. And that's a great call out. For my daughter in particular, she was very easily distracted.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, okay, it had to be pretty quiet if she was going to actually eat. But yes,
right, exactly.
totally fine to do anywhere in the park you please.
Fantastic. When I didn't breastfeed, I bottle fed, but that's another thing to kind of consider when you're coming into the parks. Mm-hmm. So we, a tip here with us is we bought we sometimes brought the ready to serve formula, but there was formula that they sell in single serve packets. And so instead of bringing an entire, you know, bottle or an entire container that you had to scoop formula out of, we just bought those ready to use packets, and it was super easy just to dump those into a bottle that was already filled with water. It was a little bit more expensive, but definitely worth it. So much easier when you're, you know, throwing things in the diaper bag. You don't have to measure anything during that time. But it was the same thing. Britta would get very, very distracted. We'd have to find a place to feed her that was quiet. And some of those places are pretty easy to find. There's some quiet places in all the parks. The only one that I would always have a hard time with was Hollywood Studios.
That, agreed.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. We used to be able to find it. We used to go back by the Muppets area, but now that's obviously not an option with Galaxy's Edge and everything going on back there. But it's really difficult to find quiet places in that park. So the other three parks we had some good off the beaten path places. Do you guys have any good places that are quiet for kids to nap or to feed in, let's say, Magic Kingdom?
I would say most of the ones on my list actually fall into Magic Kingdom.
Uh-huh.
It's definitely the most toddler and baby friendly park, I would say.
Yeah, I agree. I was making my list, and to your point, Stacey, like my Hollywood Studio list, I'm like, some of those maybe, but Epcot and Magic Kingdom definitely took up the bulk of my list. If your kid sleeps in the stroller, that's awesome just to walk around and look around and kind of take in the windows on Main Street and do this kind of things that you might not normally make time for. I know we've done, there's Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom, and we've done, they have a similar game in Adventureland, all while the baby was sleeping in the stroller to keep busy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But if you just want a quiet place, so my favorite place in Magic Kingdom that I feel like nobody's ever at is if you are back past the Dumbo ride where Pete's Silly Sideshow is, there is mm-hmm. a big circus tent back there with some tables and chairs, and there, no matter what time of day, there's never anyone up there. So that is a spot I usually try to go and grab if we need, you know, somewhere for the kids to calm down or just somewhere that's a little off the beaten path.
Oh, that's a great tip. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. And it's, you know, it's nice that people watch back there too. You get some quiet time just to kind of relax and people watch and everything.
The other
place
is too sometimes is, and it depends on the time of day, you wouldn't want to do it at a mealtime, but if it's kind of an off hour, a lot of the quick services tend to have sections that are quiet. So, mm-hmm. Upstairs in Columbia Harbor House is usually a good one, or there's actually the upstairs in the Pinocchio Village House. So, again, mealtime is going to be different, but if it's like 10 in the morning and those places are open, or 3 in the afternoon, you might find some relief in those areas as well.
Yeah, definitely. That was on my list too. And Pecos Bills, they have some of those off the side rooms toward the back that you can sometimes get a dark, quiet place back there also. I like transportation while kids are napping because Britta would always nap. I don't know if you two use baby carriers to carry them, like the soft baby carriers. She lived mm-hmm. in those. I mean, up until she was probably 3 years old, I carried her around in a baby carrier. But being on things like the riverboat and the railroad and the people mover, like anything that was kind of moving while she was on me, it would just immediately put her to sleep.
Yes.
And then it gives me a chance to sit down too, because she's got, you know, it's heavy. Even when it's a little tiny baby, they get heavy and hot when they're strapped on yes. to you. So having those places that are, you know, providing a little bit of rocking motion and you're not making that motion, something else is, it's like a gift.
I think a whole lot of the things on my list were transportation, as you say. Like one of the my favorite pictures that we have from our trip is of my daughter just completely passed out on my husband on the people mover. Like it's a wonderful, you know, it's a little bit long, it's nice and cool, you've got the breeze and you, like you said, the rocking kind of motion. And actually touching on the stroller thing, basically we found that if as long as we kept moving, she was fine. The second mm-hmm. we would pause, she would not be having it, unless she was already solidly asleep. But
yeah,
but just being in the stroller and keeping going was one of the best ways to kind of get her to calm down. And a lot of times we would kind of close the canopy completely and recline the seat. And then we even had a little white noise machine that we had at some points. And you can, you know, we use apps on our phones sometimes too. But like the combination of all of those things did the trick in almost every circumstance.
Yeah, that's a great tip. I never even thought of that. My kids love the white noise machines. Never thought about bringing that places. They were pretty good sleepers in the stroller, so too. But speaking about like keeping moving, the monorail is another mm-hmm. tip, because you don't have to collapse the stroller on the monorail. So if you are just kind of looking for a walk someplace or some, you know, just to keep moving, great thing to do is just take a ride in a monorail, go explore some resorts. You know, you can find a nice comfy place in the lobby someplace or outside and enjoy the resorts and everything while you have a sleeping kid as well.
Yeah, I think that's a great tip. And I would say too, at Epcot, one of the, you know, we were at a point in our lives where we really like didn't get any date nights because mm-hmm. we had a young kid and we didn't at the time have any relatives nearby to watch them. So one of our most memorable date nights is our son passed out in the stroller, and I guess he was probably 4 at the time. But we were still, he didn't need a stroller in everyday life, but I guess this is a tip as well, right? Even 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds sometimes need strollers at Disney World.
Yes.
So there's no shame in that game. Just expect
it. Anybody shame you out of that either. Don't listen to the Facebook groups.
Yes.
You want to get a stroller for your kid? Get a stroller for your kid.
Yes. Yes. So he had passed out in Epcot, and we just walked around Crescent Lake and the boardwalk, and we got margaritas, and it's funny, we took pictures in the photo booth, and I had like my hand and leg out the photo booth over him while he was sleeping in the stroller. And then we like wheeled him over to the beach club and we sat on the beach for a while. So there's a lot you can do if you have some good sleepers in the stroller.
Yeah, for sure. So why don't we jump over to Epcot then? Do you have any places in Epcot that are go-to quiet areas? Either one of you?
So I think that my favorite place in Epcot is probably closed or closing with all the renovations, which makes me sad. But it was back where the Minnie, Mickey, and I guess Goofy meet is. And the back of that building is a mm-hmm. hallway.
Yes.
Yeah, that is the greatest hallway. I discovered that, and it was like heaven for us. So it has
so
benches.
Cold and
yes. And that's like you could charge your phone there, and it was so great. But I think that's going to be closed now. So I would say the gardens in Japan and the gardens mm-hmm. in England are 2 spots for me. I mean, assuming the band's not playing in England.
Right. Yep, that was on my list too. And I discovered in the last, I think it was the last trip, when you walk through France, you get back to like this little area where there was absolutely nobody. There was a bunch of benches, beautiful flowers and things back there too. And I just sat back there for quite a while just by myself until the next person came through. And I think the next person coming through was my husband. So it was like our little private area. But just exploring, yeah, similar. Exploring in Epcot, it's really, you can find so many places. Sorry, what were you going to say?
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
We had a similar place in like the benches in the China Pavilion.
Yeah.
That like, you know, in between the plants kind of separate you from the main thoroughfare there. And it was wonderful until we realized that that's also where people line up to meet Mulan. So it got a little busy. So depending on the time of day, check the schedules.
Yeah, I think that's...
That is so funny.
That's what's so funny is, like, it'll be a good spot, and then all of a sudden it's the worst spot ever, just depending right. on schedules. One thing we've done sometimes, and we've done this at Epcot and then at Animal Kingdom, but use some of the theater staging. So, like, at Epcot, we'll use... It's the theater in the America Pavilion.
Mm-hmm.
So usually you can get in there regardless of whether or not there's a show, and if there's no show, it's pretty private and there's no one down there. And then the same in Animal Kingdom with the Rivers of Light Stadium. Usually you can get down there and sit and kind of just look at the water and hear distant screams of Everest.
No, that's a great tip. If you're looking, if you're needing a place to sit and just regroup, that is a really great tip. I like that. I never thought about that.
One of mine, and again, this is kind of the sticking with the moving theme, quiet boat rides, quiet dark boat rides, like Living with the Land
or
Grand Fiesta Tour, were wonderful.
That's great. And even you could probably even do the friendship boats across, you know, keep on going across
yes.
the other side, and that would be nice and relaxing too.
Anything yeah, I think Spaceship Earth is great.
Oh, that's great.
Spaceship Earth is yes. one for me. I mean, it's very low thrill and just dark and cool.
Yeah, I was thinking about the shows, and a bunch of the shows are on my list, like, you know, Hall of Presidents at Magic Kingdom and Carousel mm-hmm. of Progress and things like that.
Yes.
And then Scott was like, yeah, but that could also be the absolute worst place to have a child, because if that kid wakes up or gets upset and wants off, you know, you are kind of stuck sometimes, or you have to make the walk of shame with the crying kid, you know, trying to get out. And I was like, yeah, that's true. You have to kind of be confident in your child's sleep at that moment before you go into mm-hmm. one of those places. Nobody else really cares. You're the only one who is horrified that's happening at that moment.
I was just going to say, like, if you've got a kid that's going to have a meltdown, Disney's actually a good place
yes.
for it to happen, because everyone around you can commiserate. People
yes,
understand.
Exactly.
mm-hmm. We got a pack of signs as part of a gift basket one of our family members gave to us one time when we were at Disney, and one of them is actually a sign that says "My first Disney meltdown." So the theory or the concept is you're supposed to hold it in front of your screaming child.
That is the best. I think I might need to do that. Just get a dry erase board and be like, you know, that would be so funny.
Mm-hmm.
I might come up with some inappropriate things, though, so maybe I shouldn't do that. All right. Anything else for Epcot that you have, either one of you?
I think, you know, just depending on what's going on, and I feel like lately Epcot has something going on all the time. So if you have a sleeping kid, enjoy the festivals if you're there during
yes.
one. And then there is a little playground. I don't know if it's seasonal depending on festivals or not, but just outside, it's like in between Test Track and Mouse Gears.
Uh-huh.
And so that is a really good place as well, especially if you've got kind of a younger child and then a sleeping child, to let them enjoy something like that while the other kid sleeps.
That is great. Disney has really come up with a lot of those different little playground areas in the recent years, and they really do help. Sometimes you can't get the kids out of them, but they...
Right, right.
They definitely, when you need them, they are
yes.
a very good thing.
those are definitely on my list, like the Dumbo play area at Magic Kingdom and the Boneyard at Animal Kingdom.
Are both that was so good.
Sometimes you need to be able to wear them out before you can get them to take these naps that we're talking
yes.
about places for, and they're wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right, so let's head on over to Hollywood Studios from Epcot. I only have a couple of places to that I could really think about. One of them was One Man's Dream. Just to kind of go through there, it's air conditioned. It's sometimes busy, but you know, you can kind of stroll through there. It's not like you're waiting in a line for anything, so you can take mm-hmm. your time cruising with just kind of air conditioning. I think that there's some benches. I can't remember if you're allowed to bring a stroller in.
So
there.
You're not, but if you get a nice person at the entrance and you tell them your child's sleeping, they may mm-hmm. let you go in. So mileage may vary on that. We've had both experiences.
And that's actually a really good tip also for people. Most of the time, I can't say every single time, but most of the time, if you have a dining reservation and your child is sleeping in a stroller, they will usually let you bring your stroller in for the dining reservation mm-hmm. with the sleeping child. I have had that happen in many, many restaurants at Walt Disney World, and I try to be courteous, and as soon as the child wakes up, I will then go park the stroller outside. But all you have to do is ask. They can say no, but you never know until you ask. So please.
Now I've had cast members offer. Sorry.
No, that's great.
Yeah. When we went with Isla and she was 4 months old, she wasn't sitting up on her own yet. And I was so worried about like how we were going to eat with her without holding her the whole time. And we got to bring her stroller into every restaurant we went into. I was trying to figure out like how do I fashion something to like hold her up in a high chair, and I was overthinking it, but they were so accommodating.
Yeah, that's true. That's that because most people wouldn't have, if they're just bringing in a regular stroller, they wouldn't have a baby carrier and things like that. Yeah, so that's a very good tip, and it gives you a chance to actually eat and not hold a child while you're trying to enjoy your meal. How about you guys? Anything in Hollywood Studios?
What I had was, as we had mentioned, like the shows, and when we went to the Frozen sing-along, we purposefully sat in a back far corner that would be at the end of the row, would be easy to exit, and ended up having to make that walk of shame ourselves.
Oh,
she was not having it, but I feel like in a different situation, it would have worked in other places that were similar. When we went to see the Disney Junior Live show, she, you know, and that's a fun, upbeat show, she laid down on the floor of her own accord and went to sleep.
Oh my goodness.
That's hilarious.
That is great.
I had a couple on my list. So the Tower of Terror exit, there's I hesitate to call it a plaza, but there are not necessarily benches, but some low walls you can sit on there. And there's usually a Joffrey's cart. You can get some donuts or coffee. It's a great place to wait on somebody who's riding Tower of Terror. So we usually wind up just spending some time sitting in that area.
Yes.
And then, again, some of the quick services there you can find just depending on time of day. Some space. So ABC Commissary is usually mm-hmm. pretty empty. Or we've had some luck at Backlot Express. And then I think where Starring Roles used to be, usually there's still some tables down in that area. And because there's no restaurant there anymore, they're typically pretty empty too. And that's pretty close. So if you guys don't know where that is, if you're looking at the Chinese Theater, like head on, it'll be to the right there before that central plaza. So typically there's some space in there.
Yep, those are all the ones that I had too.
Yeah, I mean Hollywood Studios is slim pickings for sure.
Yes.
And now you have, I mean, who knows, maybe Galaxy's Edge has, you know, a plethora of of places that are quiet.
Yeah.
Well, probably not for 8 years, but you know, maybe someday it'll be nice.
It's funny because one place that we went this last time around that we did have some success with was at that point dead end of Toy Story Land, where they had the walls up leading into Galaxy's Edge, kind of just past Alien Swirling Saucers. We, like, you know, because it was a dead end, it was out of the crowds, and we could kind of walk her stroller around and get her to sleep there. We did that twice in the week that we were there in January. But I assume that is no longer an option.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah, that's funny. Scott was trying to look at the map to see what had changed for Hollywood Studios, and it was just bizarre to see how the footprint of that park has changed so dramatically in the recent months. So, but it's cool, exciting changes.
I'm curious to see if they're going to be expanding their baby care center there, because that one is super small, probably only accommodates a couple families at a time. And I would think with everybody going to Galaxy's Edge, they should do something. I don't know that they will, but it'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, and that one is right at the entrance of the park too, isn't it?
Yep.
So that's kind of a difficult thing, especially since the park has expanded so much, to have that one right at the beginning. So, I mean, obviously there's only one in every park anyway, but it'd be nice to have another option someplace.
Yeah, it is pretty much, it's a pretty inconvenient location for sure.
Yeah. How about Animal Kingdom? What do you guys have in Animal Kingdom?
I have Trains and Trails. you know, again, walking with a stroller. But also, if you want to, you know, let your toddler, you know, get down and run out some energy, all of the trails there are great. And then also the train to the Hoopoo Planet Watch. We actually one time rode that there and just stayed on and rode it back because she was enjoying it.
That's good. Yeah, that's a really good one too. I heard that there's, like, I have never seen it, I've never gone to explore, but I've heard that by Flame Tree Barbecue there's a water area down
there. Yep, there is. It's on my list.
Oh, it's good. have you used that before?
We have. I mean, again, like all the other quick services, depending on time of year and time of day, that seating can fill up. But the seating there is funny. Like, it's the worst if you send somebody to get a table and you're trying to find them with a tray of food.
Right.
There's literally 1,000 places they could be. But there are some places right down by the water, and it overlooks, well, Everest is in the distance. So it's a really pretty spot to sit down by, and if you catch it at the right time, I think it could be pretty quiet.
You know, that's great. I have not gone there. It's been like one of those things. I'm like, oh, I need to go explore that area. But that's another thing to say about Animal Kingdom and all the other parks, actually. Just go and explore, because as long as there's not a sign that says cast members only or do not enter, you can go and see some pretty cool things by just kind of not going the same direction that everybody else is going. So there's kind of, you know, different little nooks and crannies in all the parks that are pretty fun to explore. And I think Animal Kingdom probably has probably the most out of all of them that I've kind of found, just kind of like, whoa, what's over here? And then lo and behold, there's another little trail that takes you, you know, to a different part. So
yeah, I totally agree. I mean, all the parks have just incredible detail, but Animal Kingdom is my favorite in that regard. And especially if you're into Joe Rohde, like just to walk around and see all that. I would highly recommend, in Dinoland, there's like I guess it's like a bulletin board. And it is so interesting to read all the little things on the bulletin board, because it's supposed to be notes from the college kids that are on the or part of the Dino Institute. And it some of it is like borderline inappropriate, but in a Disney way. So it's just kind of fun to walk around and look at all that stuff. And you don't always have time to do that when you're racing from ride to ride. So sometimes I think having a little kid like lets you enjoy some of those things more in a way.
No, that is very true. Looking for all the little details and even finding hidden Mickeys and things like that. You know, those are there for us to enjoy. And, you know, it's so easy to get caught up in the hustle and bustle of the parks. Any for other sure. Animal Kingdom tips?
I've had pretty good luck at the Starbucks in Animal Kingdom. So they have a bunch of tables outside of there. And sometimes you can find a free table and it's a great place to take a rest. And if you've got a kid that's sleeping, they'll just hang out in their stroller for a while. And it's pretty good people watching in Animal Kingdom as well.
Definitely. All right. So I have a few things that I on my list that my notes are all over the place and I missed them that I wanted to mention. You guys probably have some things as well. So why don't we just kind of go around and just give our last thoughts, any other things that maybe you forgot or, you know, popped into your head as we were talking, just to kind of give our final few words of wisdom for people looking for areas to rest. One of mine is I have to mention because it's me is a restroom, and it's the Tangled restrooms in Magic Kingdom. I can't believe that it's like down at the bottom of my list, but this is for Rick Forbes. So the Tangled restrooms are amazing because they have charging capabilities. They have like outlets and things that you can sit on benches and charge your phones and recharge yourself. So even though it's a bathroom area, I'm sure that if you've been to Magic Kingdom, and you know that it's a beautiful area to just kind of sit around and relax. But also, there's some a good amount of charging stations there. And then the other one is, and I've had a few times where this has been just kind of an area of pure relaxation. If you can get it in the store by Splash Mountain, there's a couple of rocking chairs right in the middle of the store.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And
those are just amazing, and I've been lucky to be able to kind of snag them as somebody was getting up two times. And one time it was when Britta was a little baby, so she was like 7 or 8 months old, and I just sat there and she was sleeping and I just rocked her for probably a good 45 minutes
nice
while the rest of them went on the ride. But it was that was great people watching because you just there's so many people going in and out of that store, but it was also just such a serene area as well. It was like it's strange, like super busy but also very peaceful. So
I think there are some, too, next to Hall of Presidents, like across from the Christmas tree shop.
Yeah, those are great. Rocking chairs in Magic Kingdom, that's just like the perfect
moment
for anybody. You don't need a baby. Just go sit down in a rocking chair.
So, Stacey, before I forget, just saying this now, if you guys ever do like a show with definitive rankings of Disney restrooms, I totally want to be a part of it.
Sounds good. We'll make notes of that.
Talking about bathrooms and you know talking about you know having kids in diapers again, I feel like Disney is a really great place to be if you have to change diapers because it you know my bathroom diaper changing experiences at Disney are better than anywhere else that I take my kid and have to change a diaper. Like they're usually really big, like the changing table areas are large and there are multiple of them in both the women's and men's bathrooms, and then there are family bathrooms. So they just make it, I mean, it is obviously a family friendly place.
Yep. Yes. And having them, you know, to that point in the men's bathrooms too is super helpful because it's, you would think in 2019 that would be the case everywhere you go, but it's not. So it's nice to know for sure I can send the kids with my husband and he can get it done.
Yeah, that is really a good point.
Had one thing from Magic Kingdom we didn't talk about, Tom Sawyer Island.
Oh, yeah. Uh huh.
So it's not super convenient to get to. You have to take a little raft over to it. And I think you can take strollers over there. I don't recall that you can't. But if you need a place just to go and there's rocking chairs over there and just kind of walk around and get away from the hustle and the bustle of the parks. That is the best place. You kind of forget for a second that you're in a theme park while you're on there. And I've seen people like bring little picnic lunches and eat over there. So that's a place too, if your kids just need some quiet time to get away from all the sensory explosions, you can go there and they can get it done.
Yeah, that's, and it's also a really great place for people with multiple kids too. If you have a little one that's sleeping, the other kids can go around and play and explore there as well. So that, we have the cutest picture of Sophie when she was 4 and my father-in-law, and she was dressed in her bell dress and they were playing checkers over at Tom Sawyer Island. And it's just, you know, it's just like a quaint little place. It's it's great for rest and for play.
That's great.
Let's see, the one other thing that I had on my list that I think is worth mentioning is that it is completely okay and sometimes advisable to take a break and go back to your hotel room, or take a break and go back and swim, like let some kids nap while some kids swim. Yeah, you know, that Disney transportation makes it so easy. And that was a real lifesaver for us.
Yeah, I totally agree. We do that every trip. We're rope drop people. But every day, as soon as we eat lunch, we head back to the hotel and try to get them to nap or, to your point, swim, or just to have some downtime in the hotel before going back out.
I am looking forward to the time when all of my kids can go swim and then I can nap and then they don't have to bother me and I can get a good rest in, because none of my kids nap anymore. And I'm like, if we go back to the hotel, they're going to swim and wear themselves out even more, and then they're going to be crabby when we go back to the parks later on. It's a very difficult situation to be in. All right. Well, I think this is a good conversation. I think we gave some good tips on where to relax and get away in while you're in the parks if you have little ones. But I mean, even if you don't have little ones, these are good tips for anyone who just kind of needs a sensory break. It takes a lot out of you to be at Walt Disney World, and sometimes you just need a quiet place.
For sure.
Yeah. So can you guys tell everybody, I'm going to start with Jennifer. Let everybody know where, if anybody has any questions, where they can contact you, get a hold of you with anything they want to know.
Sure. I think probably the best place to ask me questions or get in touch with me is on the EDCOT group in Facebook.
Fantastic. And how about you, Emily?
And same here.
I thought that
the EDCOT group has been, it's been such a good resource. Stacey, I don't know if you remember, but you gave me one of the best pieces of advice that I had before we went with our daughter for the first time, and that was about a particular 31 brand stroller bag that has been a lifesaver. So, you know, everyone there is never, no one's ever shy of offering an opinion. We love everyone who stops by, so.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great little group. It's a great family. For that tip, this is a good show to talk about that tip. I had mentioned everybody at Disney has pretty much the same strollers. I mean, they're just the same brands everywhere that you see. Put something on your stroller that will distinguish it from all the other strollers. And I had found this bag. It's by the company 31. And it attaches with clips, and it's just like an extra bag to hold stuff, but it's bright pink, and it's, you know, it's eye-catching. But the best thing about the bag is that it's mesh. So when you're going through security, you just unclip the bag, and they can see everything really fast, and then you can just throw it back onto the stroller when you're done, and, you know, carry it different ways, too. So it's like the perfect park bag. If anybody wants to know more about that, you can send me a message, either a private message on Facebook or through the EDCOT group, and I can see if I can find different examples of it. I don't know if they make it anymore, but you can usually find something similar to that. So
yeah, I think I got mine on eBay, I think.
Oh, nice.
Not expensive at all, but it's been wonderful. We use it at the zoo. And it was really, really easy getting on and off of Disney transportation, the buses as well.
Yes.
Because you could just unclip it. One person had the diaper bag on their back. They would grab the you know, unclip the bag and grab it, and the other person would pull up the stroller, and we were good to go.
Yeah, it's a great little bag. I don't know why I don't sell it anymore. I should start selling it. All right,
well,
everybody,
you do,
thank you.
Right?
I don't. There you go. Thank you all so much for listening. I just as a little confession here, I am not super comfortable leading these shows, so it's a little bit out of my comfort zone. I'm getting a little bit better. So if you've made it this far, thank you for bearing with us, or with me, I should say. The ladies were fantastic. But for my friends, Jennifer and Emily, I want to thank them so much for being on the show. Thank you all for listening. Join us on Epcot and have a great day.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.